The last 2 weeks and this week, our gospel is coming from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's gospel. And in it, we have lots and lots of teachings from Jesus Christ. Today in particular, what kind of jumped off me was how to deal with conflict. And I thought, with everything going on in our world today, that's a great topic to talk about. So I'd like to look at an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and the saying, turn the other cheek. Now, we might think an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is barbaric, but it was a major advance in morality in the right direction for its day. We all probably know it's the Code of Hammurabi, who ruled over Babylon around 2000 BC. Now, we have to remember that back then, we're living in a world where it's kind of tribal, and there's also shame and culture. You have to save face. So what would happen is if somebody came in and hurt somebody in your tribe, then everybody in the tribe of the person that was hurt was now obligated to go seek vengeance against the tribe of the people that hurt this person. So this could mean actually going and killing somebody from this other tribe who had absolutely nothing to do with the original infraction. So the Code of Hammurabi was a wonderful advance in morality because it taught two things. One, when something happens, the only person you can punish is the person who actually did the offense. The second advancement was you could only do to that person and no more what they did in the first place. So seen against this historical setting, the Code of Hammurabi is not a savage law, but it's actually the beginning of mercy, as crazy as this might sound to our modern ears. In today's gospel, Jesus takes us to the next level when he says, when someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. So I'd like to look at this from a very practical perspective, and then we'll look at it from a scriptural and a spiritual perspective. So practically speaking, if I were going to strike you, which I would never do, on your cheek, I would use my right hand. Sorry, lefties, it's a right-handed world, okay? Then I would use the back of my hand because that would add insult to injury. So if I were going to smack you, which I would never do, I would take my hand and I would come across like this. So the back of my hand is going to strike your right cheek. And when I follow through, you all will be looking in this direction. Now you're going to offer the other cheek. You come back and look at me. Now if I'm going to strike you a second time, back of my hand, right? I got to turn my hand like this. And now, so if I smack you this way and I want to come back again, it's difficult. Maybe it's getting old, but I realize right about here, like my body says, what are you doing? Why are you trying to go that way? Like this is a very natural motion. This is not, I guess, unless you're a tennis player, right? So Jesus is saying, look, you know, go ahead, offer your other cheek because the ability for them to strike you is going to be almost nothing. It was almost like, really, is that the best you have? Spiritually, scripturally speaking, what did Jesus do when he was struck? When we go to chapter 18 of St. John's Gospel, he's before the high priest being interrogated, and the temple guard doesn't like his answer, so he strikes Jesus. So Jesus turns to him and says, if I have spoken wrongly, testify to what was wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? And the guard was like he just nullified the whole situation. So he came to see here that might is not always right, that the tongue is mightier than the back of the hand. So no one's allowed to beat us to a pulp. I hear people want to use this as a, if you want to be a pacifist, have a nice day, go for it. I hear people say this like, well, I can't fight back. That's not what this is saying. This is saying we're going to take away the violence. We're going to stop it by bringing truth, by questioning the motives of the person who is being the aggressor. So mercy is allowed to move to the next step because a violent response, which is justified, is now replaced with the desire to bring truth, to bring peace between these two factions. Finally, we get the ultimate act of mercy from Jesus in today's gospel. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To love someone is to will the greatest good for that person. And the greatest good that anyone can accomplish is eternal life with God in heaven. Now, to do that, we have to live a godly life, a holy life, and a moral life. It's based upon the greatest commandment, love of God and neighbor. So if someone is currently your enemy and you start praying for them, what are you really praying for? We're praying for the repentance of sin, the amending of ways, the forgiveness of sin, and reconciliation. If this happens, can the person who is your enemy remain your enemy? No. If this conversion of heart, mind, and soul happens, then this person is now a co-worker in the kingdom of God with you. So in praying for our enemies, we're striving for that ultimate act of mercy, allowing this person to be in right relationship with God and neighbor and having the possibility of eternal life with God in heaven. So you can see where we've moved from strict justice to correcting the sinner to wanting the greatest good for that person, eternal life with God. So the question now becomes for us, where are we in that process? I will confess I bounce all over the place between the three of them. There are times when they're in a bad mood, you're getting the Code of Hammurabi. Leave me alone, I'll smack you one, right? It's part of our nature, right? Hang out with lots of 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, right? And how many times do you hear the following? Well, he hit me first, right? I was home with my family, and I have 7 of my 9 nieces and nephews are under 10. You hear that all the time. He hit me first. She hit me first. I understand that, but you don't have to torture because they hit you first, right? We can work this out a different way, kids, okay? I can confess that pops into my mind. Then after seminary, they give us 2 years of philosophy. Ooh, I really love a good debate. Debating is fun, right? Let's talk about it. Let's kind of see what we can do here. So you can see where when we get older, get more mature, yes, we should be able to sit down and talk about what's going on. But my spirituality really reaches its heights, and all of ours should, when we do what Jesus said. Pray for our enemies. And I remember the first time a friend of mine brought that up to me. This was before the Dominicans. He's like, you know what? You should pray for that person. This guy was really bugging the daylights out of me. I said, I can do that. Dear God, kill him. I invoke God's name. I ask a petition. That's prayer. He's like, not really what I was thinking. He's like, I want you to pray that this person gets everything you want. Gets a good wife, a nice car, job, kids, all those things. I want you to pray that this person has every good thing in life that you want. That wasn't as easy. It started out through grit teeth, dear God. But I found over time, peace started to flow. First and foremost, within myself, right? I started to let go of that animosity that I was holding on in myself. Then the relationship with that person started to change. And all of a sudden, they weren't my enemy anymore. And in a couple of situations, they became friends, or we repaired friendships that were once there. So I could see where praying for my enemies, first and foremost, benefited me. And then that went out to the person around me. So if you're struggling with somebody or people in your life, welcome to the club, right? That's just life. But Jesus is telling us to pray for them. Pray. Let's pray that God will give them all the good things that we want out of life. And then let's see where the peace will start to come into our hearts, minds, and souls. That peace will start to come between people who were considered at one time enemies. And then let's see how that peace will go out into our society and into our world.